Hello and welcome to another episode of the We're All Idiots podcast. It's Faraz from London.
And it's Tan Weir from Perth. You've been watching a little bit of Seinfeld, have you?
No. I actually haven't. I don't know why hello is a thing, but then you sent me that video. So kind of stuck a little.
Yeah.
How's it all going?
Yeah, good. Good. It's getting back to normality in Perth. Actually, we don't see anything. No masks, no social distancing. People are hugging again. So it's all happening.
That's the mark of success through. On the other side of the world, US, UK, everything is ready to get shit again. Looking at cases, especially in the US, like Florida, I think was up yesterday 15%. I can only expect things. Wow. Like UK rules have changed where you can be now from 2 meters, it's gone down to 1 meter, which means you should be in a normal distance away from someone who's not a partner of yours, which is 1 meter. I don't know when it would, if it changes from 1 meter, they're probably expecting everyone to make out. But at the moment, everyone's going back to a level of normality. No one's wearing a mask. I think it's going to get bad soon again, but who knows what's going to happen. I am a doctor or expert in virology. I think that's the right word. Who knows what's going to happen, but the US is definitely ready for another really bad period. But supposedly it's not even the second wave for them. This is still the first wave. They're just dealing with it all really badly.
It's like Trump said, right? Just let's just get back to normal. Stop testing. So if we don't test, they won't have any more cases. So maybe that's
exactly. Corona's gone because we don't test no more. Leading on from last week, we basically one of the topics that came to mind. So I was just having a conversation with one of my friends. He's in the process / engaged right now, and it made me think. So some of the aspects we were talking about last week around the kind of capitalist consumerist mentality that I think that we should go into a little bit more detail on, looking at how you're buying an engagement ring, and it was all a marketing scheme basically, where I think it was De Beers basically pushed out a view that you should buy 2 months salary worth of a diamond ring, and then it changed to 3 months. And all that did is make people think if you didn't do that, you're falling short of the expected kind of level, whether that's expected by the partner that you're buying it for, or whether it's a social kind of thing where the girl will show her friends and they'll see a rock which doesn't match up to the guy's income. If he's a VC manager or something, and he buys a £5,000 ring, they'll be like, "Oh my god, what's this?" Like, yeah. So that's basically what we kind of explored, and I think it's just crazy to think. Like last week, we were talking about how big companies push a view and they have so much control over the regulation, but then they also have this control through marketing and kind of human psychology as well, about how we spend our money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? This last few years, actually, especially since my sort of, you can call it the career crisis, since my income's reduced, you know, it's just made me think quite a lot. And I think we've mentioned this in one of our previous episodes, that since you started doing this as well, where you quit your corporate career, you know, and started doing something that you really believe in, and possibly living a much simpler lifestyle with a lot less. It's just changed your thinking. And, you know, since all this has happened, it's made me, it's made me realize, but also just think about this a lot more, about this materialism that you mentioned, or consumerism. You know, we're constantly looking for more things, and you know, I used to be like this as well. You know, it's just constantly wanting to buy more stuff, it's like we're looking to fill a void on something, and also then there's the other part where we are buying to show it off, like you said. You know, there might be a diamond ring that a woman shows off to her friends, that could be a status symbol. So, you know, I think there's a few layers to it. There's the judgment part on how the society will judge us, in terms of, you know, what we have and what we can show that shows success. And this is one thing that drives people, I feel, that, you know, they're always looking to buy the next big thing, or buy a bigger house and a better car. It's just so interesting, and we are living in a society where we've got depression, where, you know, depression's the highest it's ever been, anxiety it's the highest it's ever been, and we keep buying stuff, and it's not really making us happy.
It's interesting, like you're saying about the whole weird depression buying stuff. Everyone's probably heard of that term, retail therapy, right?
Yeah.
Like you're feeling down and you just buy something, and it's crazy. Like there's obviously a psychological element to it. Like you buy something to make yourself feel better, buy something new, but it doesn't necessarily have to be something that is ridiculously expensive. It could just be anything. It could be something just it could be something really small that is a bit more about like the emotional connection that you have to that thing, or anything. A song that you buy, or a CD back like 10, 15 years ago. But yeah, it's interesting because social elements to it as well. Like we spoke about the diamond ring aspect, but then you've also got, like you mentioned there with cars, for example, people buy a car for the sake of having this social credibility and a status elevated in society. So you think, oh, if someone has this particular car, they are automatically a grade higher than they were before they had that car. And it's interesting because everyone looks at that in a way where they can't, like, people buy a car if it's for yourself and you're doing it because you love cars, that's one thing. But if you're doing it for the sake of putting this impression in other people's heads, it's kind of messed up.
I think, you know, it really needs a very deep level of consciousness and mindfulness to realize this, because obviously it's got the hardwiring aspect, from an evolutionary psychology point of view, that, you know, tens of thousands of years ago, or probably hundreds of thousands of years ago, when we were living in tribes, and status used to mean something, and if we didn't have things like this, we probably would be less likely to stay in a tribe or get a lower ranking, and that would affect our lifestyles and would affect a lot of different things. But we've come such a long way from that. And now I think we've still got that lingering thing where we are destroying our mental health to acquire all these things, which are not really helping us in anything. You know, they just, people are taking loan after loan to buy things that they don't really need. And it's, you know, that there has been a lot of studies done with materialism. One of the studies I remember, or research, was any money made over $70,000 did not increase happiness in people. So I'm obviously talking about not materialism now. It's more chasing money, or chasing after something that we think is going to make us happy. But obviously that sort of leads to this whole materialism eventually. And there are other studies that have been done, and long-term studies as well, that, you know, the change in psychological well-being is actually negative when people buy more and more stuff. And it's right from adolescence to middle age. It's only when we retire that we realize, like, oh shit, you know, we've been buying all this stuff, and now we've gone through our entire lives not really living it, and it's just too late.
Yeah, and one of the interesting things that I've kind of actually had a conversation with someone yesterday about, for me, this whole idea, like, especially with housing, for example, I'm going to put something out there that may be ludicrous. I'm still kind of getting my head around it, whether I firmly believe it or not. But in terms of, like, certain things that people buy as investments, let's say, for example, a property that is a requirement for, let's call it shelter. It's shelter at the core of it. And people buying that for the sake of an investment means that other people are unable to afford it. But also this whole idea that basically people upgrade their housing to something that's bigger, even though they might not necessarily need that extra room. They could be a family of two, let's say one child, and they have like a four-bedroom house. It's completely unnecessary. But it's this whole mindset of having this social proof of success, that you have this gorgeous home and everyone looks, it doesn't matter how much money you have in your bank account, you could be completely struggling to pay your mortgage off each month. You could be like putting yourself under so much financial strain to achieve that. You could live mortgage free possibly in a much smaller home, but society's made you think that actually we need to upgrade every time. We need to upgrade. If we get a better job, we need to just put ourselves on. Like, we should maintain that level of financial strain that we start with
at
the beginning of our career to make sure that we look like we're continuously improving. And it's something that, for me, I personally would rather just pay off my mortgage. I'd rather just one property completely paid off. If I get another property, it'll be because I am ready to completely... I want to only have that if I'm mortgage free with the next one.
That's a good point that you mentioned. Like, how many people are out there who might think, oh shit, what's this person going to think if I live in a one bedroom house? What's this person going to think if I live in a suburb that's not really well to do, or I live in a small house in a suburb that's not really a good suburb? You know, it's almost always linked to this fear of judgment. And like you said, you know, we keep getting, if we're doing well, if we do have success, we just keep upgrading, and it's never enough. It's never ever enough, because we keep upgrading our lifestyles.
Yeah, and you know what as well, like, people have this view that like debt at the moment, like, people think, oh, you know what, like, if everyone has this view, like, if you don't take on more debt to expand your investment capabilities or whatever, it's stupid. Like, they say, oh, like, you know what, if you have a house and you get equity in that house and you build the equity, and then you don't reinvest that equity to acquire another home or two or three, not utilizing the equity in the right way. But then we have a system that's layered heavily with debt. Most of the issues that we see are caused by debt, whether it's on a scale of a home or on a much smaller scale. Most issues in terms of financial strain are caused by debt. And for example, if you right now, in 2008 we had the financial crisis, where people basically were given loans way bigger than they needed at the time. Right now, the next financial crisis, in terms of with the property space, this is something that I see personally, and it may happen probably in the next 6 to 9 months. Like, I'm not here to cause any issues or crisis or whatever. This podcast is probably not big enough yet to have that impact. But
one day it might have an impact.
Yeah, hopefully by then this is all past. But with regards to how Airbnb properties, a lot of people bought properties or whatever it might be to put on Airbnb. Right now we're seeing like 95% reduction in those homes being required for Airbnb purposes. Probably the travel sector wouldn't even be back to complete normality until another 2 to 3 years. It obviously will recover to some extent, but not back to 100% capacity from my point of view, just given how many potential travel bans there will be and safety aspects, blah, blah, blah. But this means that you've got a number of individuals that are investors, and they've got properties that they've bought for purely investment purposes, which causes a huge spike in prices. And they have them vacant, they can't pay the mortgage, they default on their loans, goes back to the market. There's a huge influx then of properties that were basically, like, through in the US, it'd be called foreclosure, but yeah, unable to pay their mortgage. And yeah, it will cause a huge drive down in house prices, probably around the globe. Which for me, I think it's probably a good thing, because if you look in the UK, for example, probably the same in a lot of major cities, properties are not affordable anymore. So it's a matter of, if you look at the average income in the UK back 35 years ago, you could buy a home when you start a couple of years after you start your career. Now the average first home purchase is at like 36, 37 years old, which means for 15, 17 years, you're renting, you're trying to save, you're in this constant cycle. But it's just caused because of this kind of personal, like, it's hard to, this is like a something I'm trying to work on at the moment, is trying to work out whether it is actually fair, because you have a system where you can have a second, third, fourth, tenth property, and you're doing it purely for financial gain for something that should be a natural human, like, basic need. Whether it's, for me, I look at like a few things, whether it's water, whether it's shelter, whether it's food. If you're extorting or profiting off of it, is it right? Like, that, I don't know. I'm just trying to get my head around it, because I think obviously there are huge, if you can make good financial decisions around property, of course you can make huge amounts of income. And I'm not against making income from assets and things that are required, but it's hard when you've got such a big demand supply gap.
And when you've got such a wealth gap as well, because obviously there are people out there who are struggling to even pay their rent, and then you've got all the situation that you just mentioned. It's a tough one. And you know, the thing that just makes me think is, going back to this consumerism, is how we are built as humans. We're just constantly chasing. You know, we're constantly chasing after more. You know, when we build properties, when we buy properties, we want to buy more. We take more debt on. We're constantly looking for more and more. Whereas it's, like I said before, you know, studies have proven that it doesn't make us happy. Like, what are we actually searching for? And this whole, you know, this modern world, since really money was invented, which I read in a really good book called Sapiens, by an Israeli historian. I think I might have mentioned this before. It's got a lot of different historical facts about money, about religion and agriculture revolution. But you know, what really interests me about money is, you know, since it came in, it's just a piece of paper that we put so much value on. And someone I know is actually writing a story about aliens and an alien mission to Perth. And imagine if we can look at ourselves from the outside, how that would appear, that we are fighting over all this, you know, we're fighting over all these materials, over money, we are destroying our health over achieving something that's never going to make us happy. It's just mind-boggling. It's baffling, isn't it?
Yeah, and you've got this kind of, like you said, you've got this mentality where it's like, if someone has it, you want it. You've got this sheepish sort of mentality. Whether you look at, say, I don't know, when, remember, probably, I don't know when the first iPhone came out, but initially, it was, like, was it 2007?
2007 or 8, yep.
Yeah, like iPhone came out, initially it was like the new early adopters, the cool people as such. And then it just became this whole marketing thing where it was like, if you didn't have an iPhone, you weren't cool. And then it got to a point where if you had an alternative thing, like you had a Samsung Galaxy or the Huawei, you are these like people that go against the grain and stuff. And it's so crazy that you're still part of this whole sheepish mentality either way. And it's like, yeah. We're seeing it at the moment with, this is my opinion, but like you've got these AirPods. People are buying it because it's like a status symbol that you've got this AirPod in your ear. People think, oh, he's cool, he's got, or she's rich or whatever. Like, it's nothing, but it's just like this $200 earphone that is wireless. Nice. Obviously, it's cool. It's nice, but it's not about the actual item. I don't think it's, for me, it's not about, it's a good or bad item. It's just about how people buy into things and they kind of follow people into this space. And like we've been speaking a bit about buy now pay later, right? Like a couple of things that you're following in Australia in terms of different companies, and it just means like there's another thing in the UK that I've seen called Klarna. A lot of businesses are offering it as a payment option to basically split your payments over 3 months, I think it is, and it just means people don't get the financial hit right now, but they get the nice thing right now and they split it over 12 months. So through debt, technically it's debt, right? You're still indebted to someone unless it's paid off. And it just means that you get your shiny thing today to show off, but you just pay it over the year. And it's just through purely just this idea of this like consumerist mentality of following people to get certain things, whether it's a handbag of like that you're going to show off on your arm. People at
$10,000 handbag. Yeah.
People aren't show off nothing right now. They're at home. They're at home wondering how they can show off.
Exactly. You know, how is that mentality going now? How are all the Louis Vuitton bags doing right now, sitting at home in the cupboard?
You know what I feel bad for? The people that bought it on March the like 10th. And it's now last season's thing, and they can't even carry it out because it will look bad that they're wearing really.
Imagine the people who actually bought it on a payment plan. You know, those are not the real rich people who don't care about $10,000, but people who might have bought it just to show it off. It's probably their first and only expensive bag that they'll buy. I mean, it's ridiculous. You think about, there are bags this expensive in the world.
Like, you have to also look at things in a way where like there's a lot of craft that goes into it, right? There's a lot of handmade stuff that's gone through. Like there was I was watching a video. I can't remember how much it was. I think it was a Bentley 4x4. Done to scale, and everything was done perfectly. So it'd be like the engine was perfectly created, and like literally every piece, there was like the leather interiors, everything was amazing, immaculate. And I think it took like 430 hours to create. So of course, like it was a stupidly expensive toy as such, basically. But the hours that go into some of these things may justify some of these price tags. A lot of it would be inflated by perception and the demand that's applied to it as well. But yeah, like if they're spending money that they don't have to get something that they don't need. That just
well, you know, it's if you just talk about materialism and consumerism in the sense that it doesn't make us happy. How quickly does a materialistic thing, a handbag or a phone or whatever you might buy, a toy, how quickly does it get old? You know, we have buyer's remorse all the time. It's amazing. It's because, I mean, it should be clear to everyone that it's not capable of making you happy. And this is why a lot of people who advocate for travel and buying experiences rather than things, they keep saying that these kind of things stay with you for life. You're never going to remember that you bought a $10,000 bag when you're 80 years old, but you'll definitely remember that holiday that you went on and or this adventure trip that you did with a couple of friends and went and saw sharks in the Galapagos Islands or, you know, something like that is going to stay with you forever. But there's just not enough in our society, not enough of those things in our society. And unfortunately, it's probably getting worse with social media, where everyone's trying to show off and everyone is expected to show off your best things.
But don't you think it's interesting that even you look at that and what you said there about travel and stuff, people still find a way to make that materialistic. In the sense of, I'm in a concert. Look at me. I have bought the ticket for this lovely whatever experience, and I'm in front row and blah blah blah.
It's like you've heard of that Pixar didn't it didn't happen. It's that thing, right? So if you don't put it up, means it hasn't happened.
Yeah. And I guess we've probably all been, I guess, at times, maybe we've all done it at times where we may have taken a video of something when you're at a concert or something, put it up. And then, like, for me, I've realized I'm like, who cares, man? Like, I probably have still done it because I just want to, like, if I'm capturing something that I think is actually quite cool for people to see or whatever, it's different. You're not doing it for the sake of social kind of proof.
Yeah.
But then it's like say for example you've gone diving somewhere that's amazing and you've captured some content. You're not necessarily doing it for the sake of like, oh my god, like you're so cool that you're going to these places, blah blah blah. You're more doing it for showing that that experience off.
Yeah. So
people can kind of see for themselves and they can perhaps go on their own little excursion diving and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. And I think with those kind of things, it's more about our need to share our happiness because, you know, in those kind of instances, we might have shared some videos or pictures with our close friends, family, and it's a human need to share happiness, right? The saying goes that your happiness doubles if you share it and your grief reduces if you share it. So I think a lot of people do it for that, but with social media, it's just gone way beyond all that and it's just become a show-off thing.
What's the main trigger for people? Like, I guess, what is it? Is it a lack of self-acceptance or perhaps just a lack of, I don't know, value? What do you think? What do you think is the main cause?
I think it is. It's probably more the need for validation. I think a lot of us are seeking that validation from other people for whatever reason it might be, and it goes right from showing off. You're showing off your things, your experiences, to doing things to seek validation, right, as well. So not really showing off, but that judgment side of things that we spoke about. That you know, we might buy a house to make sure that we fit in society or we've got the right status in society. So definitely, I think, and with the modern world, this is something that Gary Vee talks about a lot, that, you know, it comes from insecurity. A lot of it comes from insecurity, that, you know, we're not confident in what we do, or we are not confident in putting content out, or changing careers, or doing something that we really believe in, because we think that people might, I don't know, I mean, it's a fear of judgment for sure. People might reject us. I don't really know. I mean, it's so deep, you know, I think to overcome this, it takes a lot of mindfulness and conscious effort. And I think you would have experienced this, because you've been doing this for a couple of years now, where you quit your career and you started something new, and you would have had so much doubt, you know, constantly, where you've downgraded your lifestyle massively, and you would have had to constantly reassure yourself and be mindful that it's, you don't really need the validation.
Yeah. And I think that's what it is. It's just like, you need to feel comfortable in yourself, and you need to make certain decisions for yourself. So, for example, whether that is for me leaving my place to come to my parents' home to save money and manage costs and don't do things for social validation and to look at people as, like, why is something that society does, like, why does it have to be that societal norms are the right or wrong thing for you? Like, say, for example, if someone doesn't like to be in big crowds and talking amongst big groups, why should they be forced to have those social interactions? I don't know. I'm just trying to think of random things, like, that may so hold for society. Like, there's loads of things that people do that may not sit well with you. So I think it's important to do your own thing. There's a lot of things that I've kind of explored in terms of, I know one other concept that we were talking about before as well is minimalism, and how so many of us have these possessions and things that we don't really need and can clear out of our life. And the minimalist concept is actually a lot broader than that. And we can probably go into a little bit more depth at a later date or another podcast. But really, like, we've got so many things that we don't need and potentially can just clear out and declutter, not just our homes, but our minds as well, and get rid of those things. So maybe if you have bought a handbag that you don't need, just get rid of it before it's just sitting there for years and years and just not really doing anything for you. And try and put that money to better use, whether that's for your own education and betterment or for buying something you do need. And I think, yeah, that minimalism concept is so powerful, because it takes away a whole consumerist mentality and focusing more on the needs rather than just societal wants, not even personal wants.
Buying something that you need, or just buying something that you can afford, more importantly. We just don't need as many things as we think we need. And I know my brother and his partner have read Marie Kondo's book recently, and, you know, they've been decluttering, and they keep saying how happy it's made them to just declutter. It's just throw shit out, you know, just get rid of shit from your life. It clutters. The more shit you collect, the more it clutters your mind, and the unhappier it makes you. And I've actually slowly started doing it, and it just, you do feel freer, you know. It's all the stuff that we keep hoarding that we might need one day, we're not going to need it. we just don't need it.
It's tough, though, isn't it? It is tough. Like, I don't know whether it's really hard to actually go through and brand something as rubbish or I definitely do not need, because part of your mind is like, oh yeah, like, you know, this spare earphones, I might need it once if my earphones, and look, like, if those ones don't work, then I've got these third spare pair. Like, it's just natural. Like, you spent money on it and you I guess there's got to be a balance of appreciation of money that you spent on certain things, but also a realistic view on, like, actually how many times you're going to use it.
Yeah, true. I mean, you've got to value that. But I think what it helps you, if you do get rid of shit from your life, is I think it helps you shift your thinking a little bit. So you might say, you might think that, oh, I've spent money on it, so I should really value it. But I think it probably helps you in the future. If you get rid of this, you realize how much you don't need. And then in future, you might actually not spend money on things you can't afford. So, yeah. You know, I think... Yeah. So it has that knock-on effect for future, I feel, as well. And it gets you out of that mindset of, I need more, I need more.
And you know what? It's interesting because, like, there's that whole, there's that well-known phrase, one man's trash is another man's treasure, right? So there's so many things that, like, I know you've been throwing out sunglasses, for example. Not throwing out, but putting on Facebook Marketplace and eBay or whatever it is. And just because you've got a pair that you don't need doesn't mean it's going to be useless to everyone. Like, it's going to be super handy for someone. It's like, there's so many things that we probably got at home that we don't have a use for. Maybe like pots and pans or anything that is quite generic and a need for most people. That, like, if you give it away to someone, even if it's free or £5, or even if it's a more expensive item, like branded sunglasses, for example, you can make good money off of it, like, to recoup some of the costs, but also someone else will be super happy because they've got something for less than the normal retail price. So everyone kind of wins.
And I really agree with this I believe in it with clothes. You know, it's like I said before, I think I'm coming from a point in my life where I used to collect shit as well, and I've been donating a lot of clothes along with selling these stupid sunglasses that I used to buy, donating a lot of clothes. And I think, you know, that kind of thing can really help people, because there are a lot of people out there who can't afford to buy new clothes, who are homeless, or you know, a small act of kindness like that could go a long way in helping people. So I think that's also a benefit of coming out of this mindset, of shifting this whole consumerism mindset.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a great point, that obviously it's not just about money, it's about how many people you can potentially help. And yeah, like, if there's something that you can possibly give to someone, I know there's some great stuff that, say, for example, I remember someone moving out of their place in London, and they had a very kind of young family that was not well-to-do, but she had loads of, like, knives and forks, and it just meant that, like, just random things like that, but it helps a family out that is not necessarily in the best kind of financial state, and she was just giving away stuff for free because she was leaving the country, and she had absolutely no use for it. It came to, like, the last couple of days, and she had some stuff, and it was like, it really could help someone out that really needs this stuff. And these young families that have young kids, generally, if they had to purchase those items, it could put financial strain on other things that may be kind of necessary for survival, whether it's food or gas and electricity or anything like that. So yeah, it's we've got to just look at things in a really different way, and that decluttering, it could really help a lot of people out, not just ourselves and our own mind space.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, like I said before, if we can shift our mindset a little bit and just try and live more consciously and more mindfully, I think it just helps a lot in just sort of jumping over to the other side and looking at it from a different perspective. Just, you know, we hear this phrase quite a lot, with getting out of your head. So if we can just get out of our heads a little bit, I think it can go a long way towards just living a more meaningful life. Yeah, so let's wrap it up there. I think it's been a great discussion, and I think we can go on a little bit more, and I think we can all do a lot more in living more mindfully and educate ourselves and just generally do a lot more in our lives. But
let's put a little challenge out there for people. I think if you look at, try and find three things in your home that you do not need and put it on to Facebook Marketplace, eBay, Depop, whatever it is, and get rid of it in the next week.
That's a great suggestion. I might do that as well.
And then we can talk about what we found next week.
Yeah, we can. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. And if you have any suggestions or comments, feel free to let us know and leave comments or give us feedback on what we're doing well, what we're not doing well. Any feedback would be appreciated. And it's bye from Perth.
And goodbye from London.